how much habitat of these animals has been destroyed. It's been happening at an alarming rate throughout the last sort of 50, 60 years, not just, you know, in South Africa, but pretty much everywhere. And, you know, the fact is that our kids are the ones who might not have the same experience as us. And that's just one generation different. Already there's been such massive issues, you know, with rhino poaching in South Africa, where our populations of rhino have dwindled to next to nothing. And it's really scary thinking, you know, something that you take so for granted and you enjoyed getting in your car and viewing these animals, it's something that, you know, might not exist.
Welcome to the Everyday Changemakers podcast. I'm your host, David Bannis. On the podcast, I interview everyday changemakers to learn more about their story, how they began, and what challenges that they had along the way. With this podcast, I hope to inspire other people to take action on the things that they're passionate about to make the world a healthier, safer, and more inclusive place. John, Jason, welcome to the Everyday Changemakers podcast.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for having us, Dave. Yeah, thanks so much.
Could you tell us a little bit about yourselves, where you're located and where you're from?
100%. So I'll kick the duo off and then let Jason chime in. At the moment, I'm actually in London, although we're both from South Africa. And yeah, both of us grew up in South Africa, spent a lot of our lives there. And yeah, that now we're traveling the world. We're pretty remote and world agnostic. So we've spent time together in Paris and Zug. Jason's been in Madrid and Turkey. I've been in London now. So it's just working where opportunities essentially present itself, and also going around the world and growing where we work. Jason, what do you have to add there?
Yeah, so I'm in Cape Town at the moment, loving it, learning to surf, enjoying some good summer and outdoor things. Besides that, I'm a passionate technologist, and I also am passionate about making a difference to the world we live in. And I don't want to spoil the punchline later, but that's what Wildcards is. It's a platform to really have a positive impact. So yeah, I like to tackle the problem from all angles. So I actually spend most of my time coding, but I love thinking about things, getting quite philosophical, etc. So hopefully we can share some of that in this podcast.
Awesome. Before we jump into Wildcards, we'd love to dig into your experiences in South Africa in terms of conservation and, you know, what background and what have you guys experienced in South Africa that would led you to taking these first steps and creating something?
For sure. So I'll start off, and I think Jason's probably had a bit of a similar experience, but growing up in South Africa, you're very fortunate in the fact that there's massive game parks really close by, such as the Kruger National Park. And from a young age, a very normal holiday for someone like me and my family was to hop in the car and drive to the Kruger Park and then make our way through the park. You camp in the rest camps and try spot the big five and really witness what there is out there, the nature. And it's really awesome. It's always one of the most favorite holidays you can do. There's nothing more exciting. You have your coffee at 6 a.m. You're driving in the car and someone spots like a leopard in a tree or something. It's really so cool actually seeing nature up that close and you actually being the outsider and looking at their world and what it looks like. So having experienced that, it's been really awesome. And as you'll have seen in the world, like the trends with how much deforestation there's been, how much habitat of these animals has been destroyed, it's been happening at an alarming rate throughout the last sort of 50, 60 years, not just in South Africa, but pretty much everywhere. And the fact is that our kids are the ones who might not have the same experience as us. And that's just one generation different. Already there's been such massive issues with rhino poaching in South Africa, where our populations of rhino have dwindled to next to nothing. And it's really scary thinking something that you take so for granted and you enjoyed getting in your car and viewing these animals, it's something that, you know, might not exist for your kids or certainly for your kids' kids. It's really scary. And because we've seen that hands-on and we've seen the devastation that's happened, I guess we're even more motivated to reverse that trend in any which way possible. And in some areas, it's happening at really like catastrophic levels.
It's terrible.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I echo everything John said. And when I started working on wildcards, I didn't even know half the things I know now. And the more I learn about how important it is to conserve nature, the more enthusiastic I get about the project, which is a very good property to have when you're doing something as challenging as building a platform like Wildcard. Just for example, we've recently got someone helping us who's a conservation biologist, and they've been telling me a lot of the stuff they do. And for example, they are out in the sort of northeastern part of South Africa at the moment, working out at removing snares and stuff like that, and help me understand how interconnected all of these problems are, because the snares are set up by the local community who's very impoverished, and that needs to also, all of these problems are interconnected, and there's human needs and there's the needs of nature. What really inspires me to dig deeper is to give the resources to these amazing people who actually doing the great work on the ground and who actually understand these things. So that's really what Wildcards aims to be, but we haven't even introduced Wildcards, so I'll stop there.
That's a perfect segue. Thanks so much for sharing that. I want to dig into now, what is Wildcards? And give me the elevator pitch.
Sure. Normally, John does these pitches. He's a very slick talker, but let me give it a try. So Wildcards is a platform that connects users all around the world with amazing conservation organizations that are doing great work. And it does that in a fun and engaging way. So it's a truly global platform, totally international. And it does this via a very cool new technology called Ethereum, which I'll definitely need to explain later. But it basically creates direct connections between the users who are ultimately funding the research, the work that these organizations are doing. And in return, the organizations are giving the users updates, and the platform itself rewards users all in digital ways. So the environmental impact of those rewards is thankfully very low, but users can earn a cryptocurrency, which comes from our platform, and various little badges and rewards that are all digital. People who really work hard in our platform can create profiles that they're proud of and can share with friends. And we want to create an environment where it's really cool to have an awesome Wildcards profile. And the more people that do this, the more we'll be saving our environment and helping great conservation work. John, I'm sure there's lots you want to add in there.
No, that was awesome, Jason. I'll quickly re-emphasize what you said, which is pretty much perfect. Imagine there's a user, a millennial like us, they want to make a difference, given that they've realized all of this crazy stuff happening on the ground around the world, and they may be not so sure how to make that difference. They're able to come onto a platform like Wildcards and easily look at our 30 conservation partners around the world, whether it's in Africa or Australia or wherever they are, whether they're working with wild dogs or rhinos or elephants, and they can look at all of these different conservations. They can watch a video about what they do, and they can learn more about what these conservations do on the ground. And through all of that, they have one place where they can go and see all of the efforts happening around the world for global conservation, and very easily, once they've seen, very easily help fund any of these different conservations and therefore help their efforts around the world. And in return for funding their efforts, it's not just a one-way street. You get prestige on the platform and it's gamified. You get rewards, you get achievements, and it's social. So I would say that's the crux of it.
In terms of the Ethereum network, the platform is based on, how does that create transparency and trust with your millennials donating with the charities. How does that work? Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. What's important to, like, the sort of key fact of what Ethereum is that it's immutable, and that history of everything that's happened on Ethereum can never change. Without going any more technical, just remember that. On wildcards, people are doing things, and all of that, all of their actions are recorded forever. So if today they go onto wildcards, they become a guardian of one of our animals and commit to giving $10 every month, that's recorded now. And that'll be recorded on their digital identity. I think this is a very important topic, and people intuitively are starting to understand what a digital identity is. That's linked to their digital identity. They can always look back and they can see the impact that they've made. They can see where the money went. They can see what the organization did with that money. If the organization doesn't tell people what they do with the money, they hopefully will stop getting money. But that's totally in contrast to most donations today. I truly do believe more people would donate if it was more transparent and people could see their, other people could see their donations. And I also truly believe people would feel more comfortable donating if they knew their money was going to where it was supposed to. There's so much fraud in the sort of NGO and donation industry. It's actually really sad. So that's basically impossible with wildcards, because you can see end to end. It goes from this user through wildcards to the destination. People collect antiques and stuff. We're moving to a digital age where these new digital items will be valuable. I'm going to probably stop there because it'll be getting quite abstract. But the idea is to combine all sorts of aspects to make donation as an investment worthwhile for the user, so that more people donate. So that's bringing in game theory, that's bringing in economics, that's bringing in transparency, all of these things that are enabled by the blockchain and that I don't think have been explored enough by other donation platforms.
Yeah, I think that's such a great point. What really resonates with me is the ability to have transparency end to end. And you mentioned, Jason, about a lot of fraud in the industry, and it's 100% true with a lot of non-for-profits. Actually, I shouldn't say a lot, but some non-for-profits or organizations, they become... So, John, anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah. I just think maybe I'll give one quick other 60-second explanation on the transparency and what it allows us to actually do. If you could imagine, what we are doing is we are creating some code that's public that can interact with money. So imagine we had this program and you could send $100 to this program, and this program would guarantee that $100 gets, say, sent to an organization. And everyone can see this code. It's public and you can only ever interact with this code. That's the way that it works with wildcards. So we couldn't even intercept the money if we tried. All we're doing is we are providing on the blockchain this code that allows users to direct funds to these organizations. So it's all transparent, and whenever a user sends those funds to that contract, it's locked in the contract and only the organization is able to actually access and withdraw those funds. So it's all public and you can see every transaction that's ever happened since Wildcard started, and yeah, anyone can see it. So it's awesome.
That's awesome. And what you just described just then, that was a very high level description of blockchain technology.
Yeah, pretty much. So blockchain technology is this, people call it, decentralized way to interact with each other peer to peer. Generally, if I wanted to send money to you, Dave, I would, you know, do it through a bank. I tell my bank to send money to your bank, and we have to trust that these intermediaries, these banks, communicate with each other and they do what we say they're going to do. And there's obviously now a whole lot of overhead where these banks have to communicate, and because of all of that, they'll take a transaction fee, etc. And a blockchain is really just this decentralized way where peers can interact without that central sort of clearinghouse. So I can send money directly to you. And the way it works and how it can happen securely is the fact that this whole network is public. So every transaction that ever happens in the network, i.e. me sending something to you, every transaction is completely public and available for everyone.
That really follows on the trend of what the internet's all about. You know, we see review sites that have popped up in the last 15 years that have completely changed the game for consumers. It seems like blockchain is the next big iteration of that. So that's great.
Yeah, there's so many fascinating things happening on it. And yeah, transparency are one of the things that it really offers that a lot of industries are trying to take advantage of. So it's very cool.
Sure.
Yeah, maybe one of the things I think would be interesting to zoom in on is the decentralized, I think it was point three that you said, John. And I think this is quite a difficult thing for people to understand, but let me phrase it slightly differently. With Ethereum, the code that runs there doesn't have a central point of failure. If wildcards were built using Stripe or, I don't know, PayPal or something like that, Stripe would be a central point of failure. At any point in time, who knows what could happen to Stripe? They could close our account, or even if wildcards stopped existing, the whole system would stop right there. One of the benefits of being on Ethereum is that there's no central point of failure. That code is being run by thousands of computers all around the world.
I think for a lot of people, hard to wrap their head around, given banking in the way transactions have worked for such a long time. What we see in across multiple facets of our community is that there's problems with the current systems. So guys, what's next for you guys? What's the next 12 months? Obviously, COVID is a pretty rough time for the world, but what's in the roadmap for you guys?
I would say actually a big focus really is making wildcards more approachable to the everyday person. I think I'll be very disappointed if we don't have a way for someone to use a credit card for purchasing guardianship of a wildcard. We do have other ideas that are a bit simpler. So we haven't actually spoken about the wildcards model, and it's reasonably complicated. It's not something that someone can just come to our website and pick it up in less than 20 seconds. I think that's a big challenge for us. And I think it's great to have something more complicated for users that have been around for a long time and that are immersed in the whole wildcard system. But we want to make it very easy and quick for anyone to just come on our website, take a look, in 20 seconds understand everything that's happening and start contributing. That's very important, and I think we've fallen quite short on that front, unfortunately. But what is exciting is that we have not stopped generating funds for conservation. Literally every second, if you go to our website, that number keeps ticking up. And when we started, it was ticking up very slowly, and over the next year it's just going to get faster and faster as more people join the platform.
And I guess anyone who's listening and hasn't had experience of building a software product before, it's really hard. It takes a lot of work, and also especially in this type of area where you guys are essentially building a new technology in a brand new space that's never been done before. I think it's probably especially difficult, but it's exciting. It's great to see that there's live transactions happening and that number's growing. You're obviously moving in the right direction, which is awesome. I want to finish on this note. What advice would you have? And obviously the wildcards is a very unique thing that you've started given your technology backgrounds, but what advice would you have for people who are sitting at home, not sure where to start? They're really passionate about a cause and they're not sure how to get started and get involved. What advice would you have for that person?
Yes, I would say get started with small steps. You can't build Rome in a day. So my advice is you might not find the perfect thing straight away, but see what's out there. And for me, one of the things I started out with was at university. There were a lot of really cool, I don't even know how to say it, like education clubs, but they provided us with opportunities. Shorko was one of them, where every Monday I could spend my afternoon in a bus going out to a township and helping teach maths to grade 7 learners who don't often get the same education that we was fortunate enough to receive. So for me, that was really a small way where I could start getting involved and I could help teaching people and give my time in that way. And giving your time is a great way to start. It doesn't have to be 7 hours a day every single day to start with. If you can just give 2 hours of your time a week to start with to something that you feel passionate about, then I think that's the greatest way to start. There's loads of awesome places out there. You can try and see what works for you and yeah, take it from there. Jason, I'm sure you also got some goodies maybe.
Yeah, I think half of the challenge is finding for yourself what you want to do. If you know what you want to do, then what John was saying is totally right. Just start small steps in whatever direction you think you're having an impact or making a difference. But if you don't know what to do, really just explore. Listen to this podcast for one, to find out what sort of directions people are taking and take inspiration. And don't feel scared to reach out to people. If anyone listening here wants to contact me or John, I'd gladly talk to you. We'd gladly share our advice on anything. And I think in general, people who are trying to make a difference are much more receptive. You can't make a difference alone. It's always going to be a team effort. So join the team and work with them.
Guys, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on the podcast. You're our first guest from the African continent. Appreciate you coming on and taking the time. And I really enjoyed hearing your story. It's such a unique technology and apply it to this area. I think it's really exciting. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much. I've really enjoyed my time too. So I'll be tuning into all your future podcasts.
Yeah, thanks so much, Dave. And one final thing to end on is if you want to learn more about wildcards, head over to wildcards.world. And yeah, you can also see more about our website. And you can start helping conservation.
Well, that's another episode of Everyday Changemakers. Thank you so much for tuning in. It means a lot. If you can hit the subscribe button on the podcast player of your choice, that would be greatly appreciated. And head on over to dgmgrowth.com/everyday-changemakers to get the latest show notes. Thank you so much.